Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
This is your host, Kalia, and I am welcoming you today to part five of the series From Self-Loathing to Self-Loving. Today we are going to talk about confronting loneliness and hopelessness, which is a really big issue with the clients that I work with. First of all, if you'd like to find out more about my work, you can go to pathbacktoself.com. or narcissismfree.com, where you'll find lots of tools and support for your journey. Loneliness can be one of the most painful conditions in our society. With our world becoming more and more of a virtual reality, we experience even greater disconnectedness from each other as our relationships go online. Even the majority of our dating relationships begin online. I heard some statistics that over 50% of marriages today begin online. The element of human connection is lacking in the majority of family systems. As you can see, family members sitting around the dinner table texting instead of communicating if they're sitting around the dinner table at all. It can be even a greater disconnection when one lives alone with just a few friends or close family members in their life or without anybody at all. Love is the most important emotion any of us can experience. If we feel the lack of love in our lives, it can result in feeling a lack of love for ourselves, especially if we have a core belief that we're unworthy of love. When you find yourself alone in your life with nobody to really talk to and nobody who really understands what you're going through, it can result in feeling very lonely, isolated, and empty. As humans, we crave connection. We're social animals, and we really need each other. Although I talk a lot about the importance of our relationship with ourselves, no man is an island or woman. And I don't want to discount the importance of human connection and companionship. We do need to get the relationship with ourselves right in order to be clean and clear in our relationship with others. When we have a toxic relationship with ourselves, we most often attract people into our lives who are vibrating at a similar or greater level of toxicity. Sometimes a period of time alone is necessary in order to purge the toxic waste in our own emotions and psyche and upgrade our relationships with others to a higher level, a level of much greater love, acceptance, approval, and respect. The dark night of the soul is a time where one experiences the greatest loneliness and emptiness in their lives. This is a necessary part of the process because through the dark night, most of our outmoded relationships fall away and leave us alone with ourselves. It is said we are our own greatest enemy. And during such a time, we get to meet that inner demon and face our dragons. We have the great opportunity to face that which is toxic within ourselves. It's never easy to confront our deepest issues. Our greatest pain and the defenses that are so eloquently built to protect us from the deeper truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, and we avoid the pain by ignoring the truth. And this is called denial. Denial is most often more than just ignoring the truth. It is a block that prevents us from actually seeing the truth. We often see what we want to see. We see what paints us in the most positive light. And this is out of self-preservation. Being confronted with truth can blow our illusions apart and leave us in a very vulnerable and fragile place. Those ideas and beliefs we've been hiding behind for so long fall apart, and we're exposed to what we've been avoiding looking at. We will most often feel more comfortable with people whose denial matches our own, and we can hide behind or reinforce the illusions together. For an example, an alcoholic will buddy up or get into relationships with other alcoholics and reinforce for each other the acceptability of their drinking. They enable each other. A narcissist will pair up with a codependent enabler who, out of a need to please and be approved of, will feed the narcissism in the other, and also it gives the codependent someone to fixate on or fix. This prevents the narcissist from seeing the dysfunction of his narcissism and the codependent enabler from seeing his or her own insecurities and codependent neediness. On the journey to self-healing and self-awareness, one must confront his or her own dysfunctional patterns, which usually involves detaching from the people in one's lives who are toxic, dysfunctional, and hurtful. It's not uncommon that when one begins this journey to greater self-love, that he or she begins to recognize all the dysfunction in his or her relationships. And as that person steps away from these relationships, a deep, aching loneliness moves in. The loneliness was likely always there on some deep level. But we have a way of distracting ourselves from what lies deep within us through our addictions to substances, behaviors, and toxic relationships. Once those people and distractions are removed, we're really left alone with ourselves. And there's nobody left to blame for where we are. If we get stuck in blaming others for our plight in life, we will fail to recognize the opportunity for growth and healing. And we're at a great risk for becoming angry, bitter, and depressed in our life. When we find ourselves alone in a world of self-reflection and self-examination, we must face that deep emptiness and loneliness within ourselves. If we're coming out of a toxic relationship, there may be a pull to go back to that relationship to ease the pain of this deep loneliness. But remember how I said that the loneliness was likely always there, but simply not in your field of awareness? As it enters into your field of awareness, you experience the fullness of it. Going back to a toxic situation may provide a momentary distraction, but it will always be looming there in your psyche, trying to get your attention. Our deep loneliness has little to do with our relationship with others and more to do with our connection with ourselves and with Source, God, nature. We can't reach out to others to feel that which is lacking within ourselves. So if you are alone, lonely, and in pain, pay attention. This is not the time to go out into the world and find companionship, because in this state you are likely to attract from neediness and desperation rather than wholeness and fulfillment. When we attract from neediness and desperation, we draw in others who are needy and desperate on some level. Even an individual who plays the role of the rescuer is needy. One who rescues avoids his or her own inner world by focusing on fixing or healing the world of others. Loneliness can be desperately painful. However, the condition of loneliness has never killed anyone. You're not likely to die from it. Although many people suicide or overdose on drugs or get involved in really bad relationships as a result of loneliness. The more you can understand the condition of loneliness, the more you can work with it in your work it to your advantage and come out the other side. It might be helpful to find a guide, a good coach or counselor who can work with you through an intensely lonely period. Find someone who can help you to face your inner demons in a healthy and productive way so you can move beyond them. Many people who are deeply lonely as a result of coming out of a toxic relationship make the mistake of signing up for a dating site before taking the time to confront their inner world. This can result in a string of really bad dates or many relationships that sometimes are even worse than the one that you were in. This is an affirmation that you attract from the emotional level in which you find yourself. So stop and pay attention to where you are emotionally and realize that's your attractive energy right now. That's what you're putting out. Loneliness is a deep vulnerability that can be detected by toxic radar and preyed upon by those who gain power by seducing lonely, needy people. So be aware. Your loneliness can lead you to a deeper, more empowering relationship with yourself, or it can lead you further away from yourself and into greater danger of complete self-annihilation. What I would like to talk to you about is how to work with loneliness in a way that leads you to a more empowering relationship with yourself. First of all, if you find yourself in a deep, lonely place, stop. Don't take any action at all. Don't go through your address book or update your dating profile or create one. Don't go out to the bars or other social situations that might hold the promise of meeting someone. Instead, go within. Pull your energy back from the outside world and take it inside of yourself. Have a talk with that lonely part of yourself. Loneliness is a call to come home. It's a call to come home to yourself. What does your loneliness want you to know? What is it trying to tell you? What is the gift it has for you? This is the detective work you'll need to do in order to shift your relationship with your loneliness. Allow yourself to really feel and experience the pain of your loneliness. Cry. Be with it. Don't try and escape or avoid it. Don't distract yourself or get so busy you don't have time to think about it. Instead, go within and feel the loneliness. Feel the emotions that are tied in with the loneliness. You may feel emptiness, despair, longing, or sadness, or all of the above. Allow all these feelings to come to the surface and feel them as fully as you can. And tell yourself, it is okay for me to feel these feelings. Of course, feeling these painful feelings is not an easy thing to do, but it is necessary. Because the more you allow your true feelings to come to the surface of your awareness, to be felt and released, the more honest you are being with yourself, and the better you will feel in the long run. We often are deathly afraid of these painful feelings, and so we use every method possible to avoid feeling them. When you pull out all the stops and allow yourself to feel the feelings you've previously escaped from, you're confronting the fear that has been standing in your way for so long. Once we confront the fear of feeling our painful emotions and actually allow ourselves to feel them, the fear begins to subside. We prove to ourselves that we are strong enough to feel our feelings, and we gain trust in ourselves. Even if it's unpleasant, we know that we can handle it. What often happens is when a feeling such as loneliness begins to rise up in a person, he or she immediately seeks a distraction. The subconscious thought pattern says, I don't want to feel this. It's too uncomfortable. Facing the dragon in our life is all about facing that which is uncomfortable. It is about facing the pain we've been avoiding most of our life. It's about walking through the fear and finding our courage. Facing loneliness involves learning to sit in it rather than avoid it. Remember, it won't kill you. And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. The better you get at sitting in your loneliness, the less power it has over you. And sitting in your loneliness is not the same as wallowing in it. This is not a pity party. To sit in your loneliness is to experience how it feels in your body and emotions and to breathe feeling. It's to practice non-resistance of the experience of loneliness. And to practice non-resistance of the experience of loneliness means to be with it, to simply be with it. Realize that the deepest inner loneliness is directly tied to a lack of connection with self and source. So remind yourself this. You are not likely feeling this because a person has left your life who treated you poorly. That person's absence may bring the awareness of your deepest loneliness to the surface. But not having an abusive, shallow, or disrespectful person in your life is not a contributor of loneliness. If you are completely honest with yourself, you were deeply lonely in that relationship because you lost connection to yourself and had no real authentic connection with that person. You might have convinced yourself that if you just did this or did that or stayed a little while longer, that you would get your need met for connection. But if you're really honest with yourself, you probably didn't have that authentic connection to begin with. The connection you felt with that person was likely illusionary. It was empty. It was an empty promise you were trying to collect on. Even if you did have a strong, authentic connection with someone in your life whom you lost through death, separation, or divorce, an authentic connection is never truly lost. You can still feel it and remain connected on a heart level. We often lose connection to ourselves when we focus so much energy outside of ourselves in our quest for fulfillment. We give all our energy to a romantic partner, a job, or a family, and never stop to ask ourselves the question, what do I need for myself? When we become selfless and needless, we lose awareness of self and our needs. We guilt ourselves into believing we shouldn't have needs, wants, or desires. We're out of touch with our needs, wants, and desires. We become servants and slaves to an ideal, to to a person or to a company. And we do this at our own expense. You might also become so adept at trying to get others to fill your needs that you are entirely focused outside of yourself and always disappointed when another fails to meet your needs. You may end up focusing all your energy on trying to fix or change someone else so they will give you what you need. You may end up feeling angry, frustrated, and disappointed all the time because that person you are investing so much of your energy in is failing to do or behave the way you feel they should. And I'm going to, since I have so many listeners coming out of narcissistic abuse, I'm going to say that a narcissist is a narcissist is a narcissist, and guess what? They're going to act like one. They're going to behave like one. They are going to have the behavior of a narcissist, and you don't have the power to change that. So a narcissist will never act like you think they should. If someone fails to act or behave as you believe they should, it's easy to make them wrong and become a victim of that person's bad or negligent behavior. And when this happens, even if that person is long gone, the focus of one's life is still on the disappointment that that perpetrator didn't behave as he or she should. I'm not saying that people don't exhibit horrendous behavior. In my work, I've heard many horror stories about how some people behave. But the deeper question is, why do we allow it? Why do we continue to accept it? Why do we focus so much energy on trying to heal the toxicity in another person? Why do we give that person so much of our life force energy and so much of our power? These are questions we need to ask ourselves. And usually as we enter our deepest period of self-confrontation and self-reflection, we do ask these questions. We learn so much about ourselves in these deep periods of self-reflection. The process may be very painful, but when we can face our pain instead of run from it, we heal and move to a higher level of conscious awareness. This means we begin to attract people into our lives from that higher level. Or we recognize toxicity sooner and separate ourselves from it, or deal differently with it. It's important to note that the most courageous people confront their pain and loneliness, where the most cowardly will immediately seek outer distractions, or attack the mirror. You may have experienced this if a person you're separating from quickly jumps into another relationship, even before the ink is dry on the divorce, or before you've moved out or he's moved out. The new relationship is a distraction, so one doesn't have to face himself or herself. Facing oneself takes great courage. If you find yourself alone and lonely, be courageous and face what lies in that darkness. Remind yourself that you alone are responsible for your life and how it unfolds. And this can be a very difficult understanding. We often want to blame others for how we feel and where we are in our lives. But we must admit to ourselves that we don't, and never did, have any control over another person's actions or behavior. That person may very well have done horrible things to you, but what do you do with it? How do you react or respond to it? The answer to this question shows you where your power is. Our power is in our reactions and responses. If someone treats us badly, we need to find the courage to confront or remove ourselves from that person or situation or environment as best as we can. Confronting our loneliness is really about our willingness to be in the depth of that loneliness for a time. Try your best not to resist it. Don't try and push it away or distract yourself from it. Invite it in. Make it a cup of tea. Talk with it. Hello, loneliness. I see you and acknowledge you. I know you are here for a reason, and I'm willing to listen to what that reason is. Just our willingness to listen and be present with what is can have a tremendous impact on our lives. What we resist persists. So if we resist and try to push loneliness away, it will continue to surface again and again. Surrendering to what is a very powerful action. The process of being present with your feelings of loneliness actually serves to connect you more deeply with yourself. The more deeply you are connected to yourself and to your feelings, the more deeply you are connected with your true self. Remember, it is the lack of connection with self and the divine that is creating this deep, aching loneliness. So by connecting with the loneliness, you are beginning to shift the energy. It may take some time, but the deeper you connect with yourself and your feelings, wants, needs, and desires, the stronger you will feel about yourself. Connecting to the divine is really about being willing to be in the stillness, in the oneness, in the present moment, with what is. The divine lives in the now. And if you're spending your energy going back in time or projecting yourself into the future, you miss the point. The point is now. This is where God is. This is where Source is. In meditation, we often use the breath as our way to drop into the stillness. We take long, slow, deep breaths in and exhale slowly. And as we do, we're bringing our attention and our awareness back to the now. With each out-breath, we're letting go of what happened yesterday, or 5 minutes ago, or a year ago, or 5 years ago, and also any worries about the future. With each in-breath, we're drawing our life force in to one point, the point of the now, of the present moment, where there is absolutely nothing going on except the breath. Connecting with the self also involves being in the heart and the feeling self, rather than spinning in the head and thinking self. Although most of us aren't usually successful at eliminating the thinking self, our thoughts, we can separate ourselves from the mind chatter somewhat during the process of meditation and drop into the heart or feeling self. As you relax into the presence, see if you can become aware of what you are feeling in the moment, and all feelings are okay. Your feelings may change and shift, and that's okay. Just observe them. You don't need to react to them, just observe them. Often the act of obsessive thought can be tempered through the process of conscious breathing and connection to the feeling self. If you find yourself saying, "I feel sad, I feel lonely, I feel desperate, I feel angry, and so on, you don't need to ask yourself why you feel this way. Simply acknowledge that you do feel this way. When you're present with your feelings, you're getting out of your head where obsessive thinking takes place, and residing in your heart where the feeling self resides. And sometimes the very act of naming something loses power. Kind of goes against the affirmation idea of saying the opposite of what you're feeling. Instead of saying, I feel sad, you would say, I feel happy. Or instead of saying, I feel desperate, you would say, I feel joyful. Or, you know, the opposite. But we're not playing the opposite game here. We're not doing affirmations. We are getting real. We're being honest with ourselves and what we feel. Because until you're honest with what you feel, with what feelings are wanting to bubble up in you, you can't release those feelings. You're continuing to push them down through denial. And sometimes affirmations can be a process of denial. Saying that you feel happy when you feel sad can be a process of denial. Just like when you see someone in the street that you haven't seen for a while and you ask them how they're doing and they're not looking very happy right now and they say, I'm fine, doing fine. And you know they're not doing fine, but they're conditioned to believe that that's how they need to relate to you, which is another way that we separate ourselves from each other, is through our own denial, through doing what we feel like we should do instead of being real with each other. So, going back to obsessive thought, it is the mind trying to solve a problem on a completely different level than where that problem is created. So we can't intellectualize our feelings away. And this is what a lot of people do when they get caught up in the obsessive mind loop. We can't tell ourselves, you shouldn't feel this way, and simply expect the feelings to go away. Our feeling self doesn't care whether or not our intellectual self thinks we should be feeling that way or not. Our feeling self needs to be recognized and honored. As we allow ourselves to simply be lonely for a time and experience the feelings and sensations, the deep ache, the longing, the sadness, and everything comes with it, we can begin to connect to the true self, the self that is hungry for connection. We might discover that that deep longing we have is really to feel our connection with the divine, to feel that oneness, to feel that unity, that union. Loneliness is often coupled with emptiness and fear of the unknown. When we go through a deep transformational process and much of what once was our life falls away, we go through a process of emptying out. Now and then we have to take the trash out, right? We have to dispose of what is no longer working in our life in order to bring in the new, to make room for the new. But before the new can come in, we must live for a time in the emptiness. Living in the emptiness is to live for a time without the usual distractions. What once distracted us from ourselves is now gone. Now there's no distraction from what is going on within. Now all attention and energy can be turned inward, and we can meet ourselves on a new level. And this is often terrifying. It's terrifying because sometimes one has never truly faced himself or herself before. Life has been a constant distraction, one after the other. Life has been about doing, getting, having, instead of being. The art of being is a new art for many who are in this deep, self-reflective space. To sit still in the silence and bring our attention inward rather than seek out the next distraction. And this is an art. It is often the stillness we fear. Ironically, we fear that which has the power to bring our greatest transformation. And so we sit, and we sit, and we sit, and we try and be rather than think or dissect or analyze. When we practice the art of being, we are on our way to experiencing oneness. Oneness is the opposite of separation. Separation is the great illusion. It is an illusion that we are separate from God and from each other. The deeper truth is there is an invisible thread connecting us all. And what one person does in the matrix of this complexly woven energy field affects the whole. Where one is cruel, the cruelty is felt on a grander level. Where one is kind and loving, that kindness and love is felt on a larger scale. Where one is lonely and isolated, that loneliness is felt in the universe. We truly are not alone. To experience our oneness is divine, however, not always easy. We are so often a product of a belief system that has us viewing ourselves as separate from the energies of life. The life force energy moving through all beings and all living things is one energy field. That energy is woven into everyone and everything. If we can truly open ourselves to that energy, we feel it in our energy fields. When we're in our own little worlds, lost and cut off from the source of energy in our lives, we are unaware of our deeper connection to life. Sometimes in our deepest loneliness and emptiness is the opportunity to find our deepest connection to source energy. When all distraction is removed, there's nothing left but this energy. But what stands in the way of self and this source energy is fear. Fear of the unknown. We don't know what is next. We don't know what lies up ahead. We don't know our own divinity and worth. We may fear that we're all alone and forgotten as a result of some karmic punishment. What is important to understand in this journey is not about punishment from a judging God or from life itself. If you truly felt your connection to the divine, to your higher self, to life force energy, you would not feel alone. You would not feel lost. You would feel a part of something much bigger than your small self. You would realize your magnificence. You might even have the awareness that your soul self or higher self is actually orchestrating your life, removing the people who are not good for you, or removing you from situations that no longer serve the you that you are becoming or the intentions that you have set for yourself on some level. You may begin to see the opportunity coming to you in the darkness. What no longer serves you must fall away in order to make room for something greater. Where one door closes, another one opens. But that opening may not be immediate. You must trust this is the way of life. A door is not closed in your life without another being opened. When a relationship ends that needs to end, because it's not right for you, you may feel that the door opening must certainly be another greater relationship. But this is not always the case. Sometimes the door that is opening is to find a greater relationship to yourself and the divine, so that you learn to no longer tolerate disrespect, cruelty, or abuse. The greatest gift in that transition may be learning to love and respect yourself. And from that place, a new, better relationship is created. This could be similar to losing a job that is no longer fulfilling to you. You may believe the door opening is a much better job, but perhaps the powers that be want to retrain you first to prepare you for that much better career path. And so you go for a time as a student, and the finances are tight, but you get by. And then quite suddenly, a whole new world opens up to you. You find yourself living a life you could only have imagined. It is important to set our intention for what we would really like to see showing up in our life, but set it in a way that gives the universal life force energy the power to create something beyond your wildest imagination. Perhaps you are limited in what you can imagine for yourself. We get used to living in a box at a certain level, a particular vibration, and repeat the same types of relationships and experiences. And when we can surrender what we have grown accustomed to and make room for the divine to work miracles in our life, we are preparing the way for something to come in that is beyond our wildest imaginings. If you're willing to be in the loneliness for a time, the loneliness will dissipate. It will lose its hold on you. You may find that you begin to really love being alone and having all this delicious time to yourself. Your willingness to truly be with yourself and face your inner demons will most likely result in a complete shift in your relationship with yourself, where you really enjoy it. The more you enjoy your time with yourself, the more joyful you become, and the more attractive your energy is for other truly joy-filled people. You may find that even though you are meeting new people and enjoying those relationships, you're eager to go home to your sanctuary and spend time with yourself. That self-time is gold to you. It becomes invaluable. It becomes rich and colorful. You discover new things you love to do, new foods you love to eat, new courses of study, and a whole new realization of self. When you get to this point, loneliness becomes a sign that you are feeling disconnected and it's time to hook back up to the divine. It's a time to return home. From this space of connection, you may feel drawn to reach out to others, to seek out human connection, and this is also a necessary part of being human. So there is a time to go within and a time to reach out. From this new sense of self, you create your new family of divinely connected beings who can reflect back to you your divinity and your magnificence. Now, isn't this worth waiting for? And that ends our talk today. If you have any questions, you can call in at 347-826-9626 and be sure to press number 1 on your keypad to let me know that you have a question. And we do have a question. Is this Georgia?
Yeah,
Georgie?
Hi.
Georgie,
yes.
Hi. I now recognize your area code.
Right. Well, I'm very interested in this direction of focus for anyone's life, and something that I'm seeing as I get older is that, and I've followed this, so I do have some of that realm for myself that I protect and appreciate. But having that, I realize that every single human being has their own will and their own kind of center of energy and focus, that it will not match ours. If we ever think we're looking for somebody that's going to match us, it will never. Our own individuality is so distinct and precious that eventually we start to realize we're going to have to protect that from the willfulness and the way the other people's energies work. It doesn't mean they're bad necessarily, right, although they could be. But I think we begin to become more careful about allowing our own energy to get trapped or start having to circulate around someone else. The better you get at appreciating what your gifts are, the more careful you have to be about how close and how much you kind of sacrifice of yourself for others, because there are many that are just looking to feed on your energy, and it can get very upsetting, you know, and you don't really have to feel obligated to do that. And I think we have a dream that there's something better out there with someone else, and it might be, but it's going to be at a really high level. It's not going to be at that ordinary level. Just as I get older, I see so many people are more like a drain than what you really want to.
Yeah, and what you're saying is so right on, Georgie. You really do have to be mindful, be aware that the gifts that you are giving, who you are, is very special, very precious, and when you're not strong in yourself, it's so easy to allow a more willful person,
correct,
to start dominating who you are and dominating your energy, dominating your choices, and you begin to lose yourself. And that's what happens to so many people in these narcissistic relationships. Is they begin to lose themselves, because a narcissist can be a very willful person, a very strong-minded, willful person who is never wrong, who is always right, who is always trying to convince you that your point of view is inaccurate. And we get into this competition, this fight, instead of just being able to say, you know what, that person is very different than me, thinks different, feels different, believes different, and I need to go, like you say, protect.
Mm-hmm.
Who I am.
The other thing is that narcissists will have been giving demeaning messages to the other person, will have been putting them down. There's that only at the stage of flattery, which is very empty, in a come-on stage, do they otherwise, whether it's under the surface or what the messages continually a put down, so that when we go through the lonely stage, I think part of what we have to realize is we're listening to a false message. That
yes.
This is something that's resonating around us. It's almost like a dark cloud, and through whatever circumstances it got there, and it happens to so many of us that it's a common experience. But the one way, instead of saying, oh, yes, I'm lonely, is to say, to realize this is a false message, and I don't need to harbor it. It might be the truth of what I feel right now. And I didn't have the power when I was going through it back when. I didn't have, like, a crowbar to leverage against it. I just had to be miserable for a long time.
And so you understand that. You understand
it
that
does.
Sometimes
I totally
it's part
understand.
Of the process.
But now, if something like that comes to me, I'm much more prepared to say wherever this is coming in from, it's a false message. And I just kind of look at it and let it know. I recognize it. Basically, if it wants to cloud my weather for a little while, but I'm not entertaining it. It's a lying spirit, and it's not part of something I have to deal with. I finally realized that. That took a long time.
You know, and one other thing that I just came to mind as we were talking is that the higher up the totem pole you go in conscious awareness, the more lonely it can seem sometimes. Because the more you evolve in a world of people that maybe aren't so evolved, it's harder to connect with people. And let me tell you, if you are, say you're an alcoholic and you're going hanging out at the bar every night, and you got a whole group of drinking buddies that all show up at the bar every night, and that's your level of connection and interaction, it's going to be pretty easy for you to find comrades.
Right.
It's going to be pretty easy to find people that you can relate to. But
and they'll
are,
agree with you.
And if you are on a real conscious spiritual growth path, personal growth path, and you're moving up, you're healing, you're moving up the evolutionary ladder, it can become more difficult to find people that you connect with. Now, it is definitely not impossible, and as I talk about, the more that you get into that space of self-love and joy, the more that you are going to be an attractive force for that same energy. But a lot of people are telling me, you know, I just can't find anybody that I relate to. And sometimes that's the valley that we need to pass through on
it's
our way.
It's another kind of a lie. It's truth for where we are. We didn't find a buddy. But we're still going somewhere. And see, that will try to hold us back. But the more you find, well, what can I do? What would I like to do today? And maybe there are things I can do for somebody else that I would enjoy doing. And
mm-hmm.
You know, become creative about how you connect to the things around you. And usually one thing leads to another, you know. I think any time that we really have a lot of good stuff going, the stuff that would kind of tell us we're sort of out of sorts with things, it's a lie from somewhere. We're looking back as if we had something like that, we'd like it, but we won't. We're moving forward. And I think then the challenge is find your own, find your drive, find your possibilities, and start doing the things you can do. It usually leads to pretty good stuff.
It usually does lead to pretty good stuff, and what most of us find is that we can't go backward anymore.
No.
We can't go back to who we once were. We can't go back to where we once were.
We might think we would have wanted, but we don't. That was a dream.
And most of you out there who have gone back realize that it doesn't bring you what you thought it would. We can't go back. We're on a forward growth path, so the more we can embrace that forward growth path, the more that we step into our true self and our true expression and our joy. So I want to thank you, Georgie, for jumping on again. I'm glad that I now recognize your area code, and it's always a joy to have you come
thank
in
you.
And
My
share
pleasure.
Your great wisdom, your many
well,
years
of wisdom.
Well, I
went through all of it.
I know
it
you
a,
have.
It took a whole lifetime, basically, and some things I realize now might have helped, but it all works out. I mean, it will work out.
It does work out. So thanks so much, Georgie.
All right. God bless.
God bless. And God bless to all of you. Follow the direction of your inspiration. And if you are going through a lonely period, know that you will get through this. If you want to reach out for help, know that I am available for counseling.
You can contact me through my website, pathbacktoself.com or narcissismfree.com, and easily schedule an appointment. So this concludes episode 5 of From Self-Loathing to Self-Loving, and stay tuned in 2 weeks from now for episode 6. Meanwhile, have a great week and enjoy the journey.